God has blessed us and made it possible for us to gather in this capacity today to worship God in spirit and in truth. We have visitors with us today. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. And we want to invite you to come back every opportunity that you have. And we have been mentioned, Tommy mentioned, several occasions that just broke our hearts this past week. These young girls that died. And, oh, then all of the ones that were killed yesterday, 9 in one place, 20 in another, and people having to be injured, some 26 in one place. Friends, I tell you, we all just need to pray more and can be sure to pray for all of the people that are involved. Last week, we had the privilege of being over at Piney Grove. Never been there. You ought to go over there sometime. It's a small congregation. The Lovells have been there. Your grandpa and all, I helped brick that church building. And there are several things that are related there. And I tell you what, Mitchell is certainly a fine young man. I really enjoyed being with him. And he's looking forward to being with us in our series of gospel meetings. And Hollis and Geraldine drove over there. They were there that night when we had 96, Tommy. And I'm telling you what, in that little church building, they can cram in about 100, but they had to put chairs and all. It's exciting when a building is filled up like that to preach. And I really enjoyed being with them. There's a couple, hopefully today, that will be baptized. Well, I'll let you know later about that. And surely, Ann and I just want to thank the elders here, all of you that participated, those that preached while I was gone and taught classes, whatever you did for in the kingdom of God, and we surely are thankful for that. But you know, Ann and I have had a struggle in the last few weeks, and there's been a cloud over us. You know about that. And you prayed, we prayed and we prayed. Wednesday night was a very tough night for us because the news would be forthcoming about 8:30 on Thursday morning. Whether or not that good leg that's on our little daughter, not little, but anyway, our young daughter, bless her heart, we didn't know if it was going to be cancer or non-cancer. And boy, have we prayed, and many, many people have. And when I got the message from my son-in-law, and he said, no cancer. Said, that's what the doctor said the first thing that he came in. I want to tell you what, we were so thrilled, cried and everything else, so happy and thrilled for that. And I can't help but today thank all of you for what you have done in praying for her. And now then, that cloud has been lifted from us. Pray for all the sick. And God does heal and help those that are His people. And we're so thankful for that. Why not? Everybody standing up and with me, let's sing God is So Good. Would you mind? Let's do that before I begin preaching. God is so good. Everybody. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Pick it up. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. What did He do? He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. And He made me whole. What will we do? I praise His name. I praise His name. I praise His name. He's so good to me. Thank you very much. In John chapter 6, here Jesus has been talking about Him being the bread of life. He told His disciples, unless you eat this bread and drink this cup. In other words, unless you partake of me, then you can't be my disciple. And you'll find as you read here that from that time, many of his disciples, and I want to make reference there to those whom the Bible says were following him up to this point. Many of his disciples went back. They walked no more with him. Can you imagine that? Having walked with Jesus, seen all that Jesus did, and many of those people made the choice, made the decision to no longer walk with Jesus. We're told there were many who had been his followers. And then Jesus said to his 12 that he had chosen. He says, "Will you also go away?" Can you imagine the feeling that must have been in the mind, in the heart of Jesus? To see people that he loved, that had been with him, that he'd been following, now they turn away and they no longer walk with him. All 12 of them were asked that question. And yet Jesus knew in his mind that even one out of the 12 was going to do something terrible. He likewise would walk away. He would be the one that's designated as one who would turn away from Christ. Simon Peter answered, "Well, Lord, to whom shall we go?" Let me ask you, if you turn away from Jesus Christ, if I turn away from the Lord, if we don't continue to work in for the Lord up to the very last breath of our life, who are you going to turn to? Peter was right. Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." I want to stand in this pulpit this morning, tell you, I believe Peter was right. I know he was right. Yes, he indeed was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He's the Son of God, Matthew 17:1-5. God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." "To whom shall we go?" Peter said, "You have the words that give us life, eternal life, everlasting." I want that, don't you? I know we can have it. We believe you. We're positive. Why, people today that ask you, "Do you believe that there's only one way to get to heaven?" What is your answer? Well, I know what your answer is going to be when you speak for the Lord. "Yes, sir, Jesus Christ is the only way," John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You can't get there. Will not go. You will not be in heaven if you don't go through Jesus Christ the Lord. And Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, "I made that choice. I did choose Judas." He spake of Judas Iscariot. And the Bible says he was the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. He told them who would betray him. Judas Iscariot. One of his own choosing. Why? Why Judas? We'll note that this morning. Let me suggest to you why people just leave the Lord. As I travel in preaching, even at Piney Grove, I'm told of people who at one time served the Lord faithfully. What's happened to them? They've quit. You can look out in the audience this morning. There have been people that were sitting in these pews that were faithful, that came to all the services, but now they quit. They're not interested any longer serving the Lord. Why? Why do people turn away from God? May I suggest in the first place, they're listening to the devil. What am I saying? I'm saying that people who make a choice, and that is to turn away from God, no longer serve the Lord, won't even come to worship, those people are listening to someone that is going to get them in trouble. The devil is seeking others. I mean, he's seeking people in this world today. Why, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's going to get everybody that he can. Why? He wants them with him. He'll get you every time if you let him. 1 John 2 verses 15 through 17. Love not the world. Folks, let me ask you this morning, do we love the world more than we love God? Do you love the world more than you love God? There are many people that do. The devil's convinced them. You have a good time now. There's so many things the devil does to get people away from God. The very first temptation of being deceived was Eve. And you can just hear the devil whenever in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan, Eve, doth God say that thou shalt surely die? And what was the answer? Yes. And what's the answer that the devil gives? Well, you know the answer. The devil says, thou shalt not surely die. I heard somebody mention not long ago and read too about an individual that was talking about this old world, how the devil can get you. And there are many people today in America that don't even believe in God. Did you know in one of the recent surveys, the basic fundamental things in the Bible, it's been revealed in America that there's twice people in this country of ours that believe in heaven, but yet do not believe in hell. They don't believe the devil even exists. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the Bible. And they ask you, do you really believe? Kind of strangely, do you really believe that God is going to send people to hell? Why? Because they don't even believe in hell. Who? People in America. People who are allowing the devil, Satan, to cause them not to listen to Jesus Christ. Secondly, pride. Oh boy. So many people turn away from the Lord because they don't want to be associated with those who hold to the word of the Lord, that make their life in keeping with God's will. In Romans 1 verse 16, Paul put the fingers on it when Paul said, I'm not ashamed. There are a lot of people in America who claim to be Christians. They're ashamed of the Lord. Why? They won't stand up for Him. Why, there are people that believe you can go out and abort a child. That's nothing. There are people today that have all kinds of beliefs that's contrary to the word of the Lord. Look at Diotrephes. In John, 3 John verses 9 through 10, the Bible says, Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence. What's the problem that Paul said that the elders of the Ephesus had to be aware of? In Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. What's the problem? Yes, it's pride. They want to be looked up to, many. Pride is the thing the devil uses for some. Thirdly, there are people that are ignorant. They killed Jesus. In the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 17, and now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also of your rulers. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of God's Word. Why? Because you don't study it. Can't even come to Bible study. Won't open their Bibles every day. I asked some of the folks over at Piney Grove, they have on their board daily Bible readers and had a number. I said, is that the only ones that read their Bibles every day? What would we have on our board right here at this congregation, O'Neill. Asking everybody to hold your hand up if you read the Bible every day last week. Friend, I'm afraid there'd be a low number. Why? Because there are a lot of people that are not studying. Why? What happens? I'll tell you what. Ignorance is a problem that we have. Ignorance of God's precious truth. Well, in Acts 17, 30 and 31, the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, He commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. Whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. What does God say through His Son? Search the Scriptures. Who is that applicable to? Who is supposed to do it? I know we talk about it. I know we emphasize it. Do you do it? Searching the Scriptures. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Paul said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life eternal, and they are they which testify of me. There was a man that received his sight. He was asked, how'd you get that sight back? He told them. They didn't believe him. You know what he said in John 9:25? He answered and said, whether Jesus, that is He, be a sinner or no, I know not. But there's one thing that I know. What one thing do you know, sir? He said, I know that whereas I was blind, and now I see. He was standing up for Jesus because he knew it was Jesus who had given his sight. I challenge you, read your Bible more, study. And then another thing that causes people to turn away and no longer walk with Jesus, just like the disciples that were found in Acts chapter 19. All they knew were the baptism of John. John was a great man. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, there has not risen a greater than John. In Matthew 11, verse 23, verily, verily, I say unto you, of them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, but he that doeth what? He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why is it in Rock Creek there is a grave and there was a man that was there buried in that grave, and on that tombstone he has a follower of John the Baptist? John the Baptist was never in the church. Jesus promised to build his church in Matthew 16. And this was after John the Baptist had already been beheaded. Why did Jesus say, of them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John? Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. Many have fallen away because they follow after men. No wonder the Bible tells us, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. In the book of Ecclesiastes, there the Bible says, now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and do what? Keep His commandments. Why? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Many today are not happy with the church. They're not happy with what God says. Friend, I want to ask you, why would anybody not be happy with just what you read in the Bible? I don't want to hear that. That's the devil working. He doesn't want you to hear the truth. He doesn't want you to follow after the truth. But then, finally, they love someone or something else better than the Lord. In the passage of Scripture in John 6, Jesus said, one that I have chosen will do what? Will betray me. What did He say about the one that had betrayed Him? He said he's the devil, working for the devil. Do you mean to tell me that you could have been in Judas's place, seen Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle, and then turn away? There are many people today in the church that have been in the church who have turned away. Why? You hear people saying, I want another religion. I want a religion that thrills me. I want a religion that I can be happy in. Are you saying it doesn't thrill you to serve God His way? Are we saying that another way is better than God's ways? Don't you remember in Jeremiah 10 verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. What was Judas's problem? He loved money. He loved money, and he was willing to betray the best friend he ever had. He was willing to betray Jesus Christ for a misery 30 pieces of silver. You know what happened afterwards? He finally realized. He went back and told him. He didn't want this money. They didn't want it. He threw it down and went out and hanged himself. It's a terrible thing to leave Jesus. It's awful to leave His truth. Why do people go out and leave the Lord? Because they love something else or somebody else better than Jesus Christ. In Matthew 26 verse 15 concerning Judas, and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Remember that. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, what good things shall I do that I may inherit the eternal life? In Matthew chapter 19, 16, well, Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, I've done all of that from my youth up. What do I lack yet? Jesus said, I can tell you. If you want to be one of my followers, go out and give what you have to the poor. And come and follow me. That man could have been the best individual serving the Lord. Can you imagine a man who had been able to say, I've kept these commandments from my youth up. What do I lack yet? Can you imagine that individual serving Jesus Christ faithfully? He could have, but he didn't, because he turned away sorrowful, for he was a man of great possessions. Question, where is he today? What would he say to us? Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Do not wait on it. David, he'd sinned awful. But there are two things that David desired. In the book of Psalms chapter 27, listen to what the Bible says. He said, one thing I ask, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. David, what do you want? I want to be with God. Where do you want to be with God? In the house of the Lord. David, what are you going to do if you're in the house of the Lord? Look what he answers. To gaze upon all the beauty of the Lord. To reflect upon the beauty and the wonders of the Lord. And to inquire in His temple. God said, I've chosen this man. This man, David, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, and we had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave this testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David wanted to see God above everything else in his life. Now he knew. Nothing like being in the fellowship of the Lord. Friends, we have an appointment every first day of the week to come and meet with the Lord. Don't ever forsake that. What are you doing whenever you do? You're saying, Lord, there's somebody else. There's something else better for me to do now than to do what you told me to do, than to be there and worship the Lord faithfully. I've got other things I've got to do. Yes, I suggest to you this morning that many break that appointment they have with God and they fail to seek first His kingdom. Giving up the Lord's will, not obeying Him, will leave us hopelessly in a condition of being destroyed from the presence of the Lord. I mentioned in my class this morning, Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than any other person in the Bible. I mean Gehenna here, hell. I mean everlasting torment. Boy, I was just reading some things about the new generation, the millennials. They are in great majority and they do not even believe and don't want any. Now, I'm not saying all of them. But boy, in this survey, it's just amazing. We have young people who don't believe in God, who say they don't believe in Jesus, who laugh at you whenever you tell them that you ought to obey the Lord. That's not what they believe. That's not what they want in life. To whom shall they go? Where are the words of eternal life? Not within their own personal reasoning. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Judas, yes, Jesus said he was the one that would betray him. And he asked, will you, Peter, James, John, all the apostles, will you also go away? And we hear Peter saying, Lord, just to whom shall we go? I ask you this morning, would you leave Jesus or have you never been and obeyed Him, become a follower of Him? Why are you waiting? Do you really believe what He says? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Won't you do that this morning to do His will? Won't you obey Him? Here is water. What does hinder you to be baptized? Why? Somebody says, why do I need to be baptized? Because Jesus says so. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. And if you haven't been faithful in your service to the Lord, don't you leave this world in that condition. Don't you face the Almighty God in that day when the Lord then will reveal to you and to all who are His people. Make it right with God. And then as you serve the Lord, be thankful that we can be followers of Jesus, that we can be those among those disciples to reach heaven after a while. What a statement in the Bible. Will you also go away? And the answer is, to whom shall we go? If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, won't you obey Him this morning, right now, while together we stand and while we sing to encourage you.